بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن أم المؤمنين أم عبد الله عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يغزو جيش الكعبة فإذا كانوا ببيداء من الأرض يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم. قالت قلت يا رسول الله كيف يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم وفيهم أسواقهم ومن ليس منهم؟ قال يخسف بأولهم وآخرهم ثم يبعثون على نياتهم. متفق عليه. هذا لفظ البخاري. الحمد لله. Continuing from the chapter concerning sincerity of intention. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and in this hadith, she is regarded to be Ummu Abdullah, literally means the mother of Abdullah. But we know Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had no children whatsoever. She was married to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had no children. And as I mentioned the other day, in the beginning of, or the introduction of Riyadh al-Saliheen, where we spoke about Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi, he was known as Abu Yahya, yet he was not even married. So the Arabs had the custom of also giving agnomens, or they would call them Abu Fulan or Ummu Fulan, even though they were not married, even though they may be minors. So in this particular case, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had no children, but she was known as the mother of Abdullah. Most commentators say because of her sister's son. Her sister was Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, and her son was Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala an, and the khala, that is Sayyidina Aisha, was very close to Abdullah bin Zubayr, and therefore she was known as Ummu Abdullah, but in reality she was the aunt of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala an. Nonetheless, she said that Rasulullah says that an army shall advance to destroy the Kaaba Sharif. And as they will reach an even plain, the word Bayda comes in the hadith, which means an even plain, an open ground. Or some scholars have said Bayda refers to the place, a certain area between Medina and Makkah. And as they will come there, proceeding to destroy the Kaaba, they will be sunk in. The earth will swallow them. بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ, the entire army. Nobody will be spared. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala then posed a question to Rasulullah sallallahu. Ya Rasulullah, how will all of them be swallowed in the earth, whereas amongst them there will be those who did not come to destroy the Kaaba. Their intention was, perhaps they were traders, they were merchants, to sell their merchandise whilst his army was proceeding. So they joined the army, but their intention was to sell their merchandise, their goods. وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, and there may be some people who are not part of this army at all. Perhaps some people who are just standing and watching, and they got carried away with this army, and they proceeded with this army, but not with the malicious intention of destroying the Kaaba. Rasulullah said that the entire army, whoever is there, even the traders and all those who may not have been with the army but were present there, all will be sunk in this earth. And then on the day of Qiyamah, they will be raised according to the intentions that they were there. So again, based on intention, if the intention was not to destroy the Kaaba, then obviously they will not be sinful. But if the intention was to join the army to increase their numbers, then they will be regarded as being part of that army that intended to destroy the Kaaba. So we understand from this hadith various points. One important point that commentators have mentioned is that one should be very mindful of the company he has. And it is because of the peer pressure, the influence of one's company, that the person gets carried away. Many a youngster does not want to take drugs, but because he's in the company of those people who are taking drugs, then he falls into this web of shaitan, into the snare of shaitan, and he also becomes an addict. May Allah ta'ala save us. People who are merchants and traders, they should clear the intention. They should not be in any of those events which are haram, because then too, they all will also suffer the consequence of those people who are being punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Kaaba will be destroyed right before Qiyamah. According to most of the ulama and scholars who explain the signs of Qiyamah, in this particular hadith, no details have been given to us who this army is that is intending to destroy the Kaaba. But there will be another person by the name of Dhus Sawiqatayn. He will destroy the Kaaba, and that will happen before Qiyamah. Some of the ulama have mentioned, even after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come and then he will pass away, After all that, then this, the Kaaba will be destroyed, and the Sabiqatain will then remove the treasures of the Kaaba. But that's another very long incident. We'll discuss that sometime later, inshallah. The important point today in this particular hadith, that Rasulullah is advising us that our intention should be clear. Whatever we do, do it solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have any evil intention, then we will face the consequence of that in dunya and the akhirat. The next hadith, also narrated by Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا هجرة بعد الفتح ولكن جهاد ونية وإذا استنفرتم فانفروا متفق عليه ومعناه لا هجرة من مكة لأنها صارت دار إسلام. She says, Rasulullah said, there won't be any more hijrat from Makkah to Medina after the conquest of Makkah. Conquest of Makkah, when it took place, Rasulullah comes to Makkah. Remember I mentioned last week, Sahaba were compelled to make hijrat from Makkah to Medina because they were being persecuted, they were being tortured in Makkah because they brought Iman. Rasulullah was then commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell the Sahaba to migrate. There was a group of Sahaba, amongst them was Sayyidina Usman Ghani and Sayyidina Ruqiyya radiallahu ta'ala, the daughter of Rasulullah and other Sahaba, who initially migrated to Abyssinia with the permission of Rasulullah. And then this particular hijrat is talking about leaving Makkah to Medina. Muhajireen, those who migrated from Makkah to Medina, they were known as Muhajireen. The helpers, known as Al-Ansar, they were from Medina Munawwara. So when Makkah was conquered, and Rasulullah comes to Makkah, and now it becomes a Darul Islam. In other words, they were able now to practice Islam freely. There was no torture, no persecution whatsoever. Now there was no sense of leaving Makkah for Medina, because Makkah became a Darul Islam, just as Medina was a Darul Islam. A person who leaves his hometown and migrate elsewhere, when he is unable to practice his deen, when his iman is at stake, and he's being persecuted and tortured, on those grounds ulama say that a person can migrate, leave his hometown and settle somewhere else. This particular incident, Rasulullah is talking about the reward of the person, the sahabi who leaves Makkah, makes the hijrat for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he comes to Medina. After Fatih Makkah, there is no more hijrat. So no person will leave Makkah and go to Medina and then regard himself as a muhajir and expect the reward for the hijrat that took place. But Rasulullah says, jihad will continue till the day of Qiyamah, wa niyah, and having a good intention of doing good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still reward the person. If he had a good intention to do something good or to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he left his hometown for another hometown, not for worldly purposes, solely to acquire deen knowledge, for example, or to go out in tabligh and to propagate the deen, in those cases, he will get full reward. So in this particular hadith, we have understood that there is no hijrat after Makkah, when Makkah was conquered and it became a Darul Islam. Then the Sahaba were now told by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that there is no more hijrat from Makkah to Medina. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat to always check on our intention. May Allah give us ikhlas and sincerity of intention. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.